Yeah, feel free, ne? Relax and make yourself comfortable. It's natural to, when you panel, especially because these interviews are live. Everybody is watching. So there's no way that you won't have that tension, but you'll be fine. If you feel good, it's getting too much, just drink your water and take a deep breath. It's not mine. Disorganized because of a balang. Because yesterday, at least, before I was about to say to go to the window over here,
we just planned now. It's confusing. No, we're not talking about the summer.
My mail was a book when it took to see your in.
You can change things a little bit.
Yeah, banana. But you won't get up a bend by the Lama province. So, Laban. My name is Nonhlanhla Ncube Ndaba. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Women, Youth, and Persons with Living with Disabilities. I'm co-chairing this panel with the chairperson of Select Committee on... born in Gauteng or for what? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so you'll tell us. Certain parliamentarians, my honourable members, sometimes they can disorganise you. I'm co-chairing with Honourable Gillian. She's the chairperson of a select committee on health and social services in the NCOP. So she's not physically here with us, but she's on the visual platform. There's another member, Honourable Malika. She's also on the visual platform. And then I'll now hand over to Honorable Malika to firstly introduce yourself.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon to the candidates.
Is it on your video?
It's on, Chairperson. My name is Audra Malika. I'm a member of the subcommittee.
Honorable Maluleka.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good afternoon. My name is Witumelo Maluleka, member of the subcommittee.
Thank you, Chairs, and good afternoon, Mr. Nchatubani. My name is Teddyson Kramer, the member of this subcommittee.
Good afternoon, Chairperson, and good afternoon, Mr. Mchachubana. My name is Bongile Kaula, member of this committee. Thank you.
Wait, who are driving Corona?
No, I said you drive.
Oh.
English.
Okay.
Corona.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson. Mtate Mjajubana. Welcome. My name is Elegant Chavele. I belong to the subcommittee. Thank you.
Sibulise kosihlalo bobabini sibulise nakuwe mhlekazi Mjajubana umbulelo bharha olilungu lekomiti enkosi
sibingelele kosihlalo ngibingelele kuMr. Mjajubana egama ofikile masiko ilunga lekomiti
igama nguliyolo mpiti andibulise kuwe mhlekazi igama ndilibizile igama chairperson enkosi both chairpersons thank you very much
The gentleman sitting next to Mr. Mpiti is Dr. Tembe, our legal person from Parliament. And the lady sitting next to the wall is Ms. Nomvula Jiba, the manager for committees in Parliament. And the other lady sitting next to her is Ms. Nobatana, our committee secretary. The other one was busy with the logistics. Who was talking to you on Plumbe every day is Ms. Zuki France. She's the coordinator of the Select Committee on Health and Social Services in the NCOP. So you have 45 minutes with us. Sometimes we exceed that 45 minutes due to follow-up questions. Yeah, and feel free. And we wish you good luck. The first question is about yourself. Tell us about yourself. Where are you coming from? Uyapi? And convince us also, why should we recommend you to be amongst the people that the president must appoint to serve in the board for NYDA? Over to you.
No, thank you. Thank you very much, Comrade Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, my name is Avela Mjajubana. By birth, I'm from the Eastern Cape, or Tambo District, Nyandeni local municipality, Ward 32, in Mkojoni location. When I grew up, I had to navigate and strike a balance between being a boy that is herding cows and going to school. Through that navigation system, I managed to matriculate and go to a university that is the Durban University of Technology, wherein I met a group of young activists at the gate of the institution, wherein they assisted me to register a particular course against my wishes, of course, but I registered it anyway because I did not apply at that particular time, or I did not apply. So they assisted me to enter. They also assisted me to get NSFAS in order for me to get financial support. I then joined this group of activists and participated in youth in student struggles that we were faced with at that particular time in the institution. On my second year, I then got elected into the student organization, and I was deployed to be the Secretary General of the SRC of DUT. Subsequent to that, I was appointed to serve in the Council of the University, the Senate of the University, and the Institutional Forum. And those structures, in particular the council, is a structure that provides an oversight role with to the executive management of the institution. The Senate and your institutional forums, it's where in policies of the city are discussed, whether in relation to the development of the institution, financial management of the institution, and so on and so forth. I then participated in those institutional forums. Further to that, I was then elected to serve as the president of the South African Union of Students. That is now an umbrella body of all SRCs in the country and student organizations. Now, I would like to bring in the question of why maybe is it necessary for the committee to consider me. It's because with the leadership that I've acquired with SAUS, that is the South African Union of Students, there are two things that I bring to the board. Visibility. Independence in that we were able, together with my collective, of course, as the president, to ensure that we invite all SRCs, even though they belong to organizations that we came with, that they do not belong to organizations that we come from. We invited student leaders from your DASO, your EFF Student Command, your UTM, and so on, to participate in the policy discourse of the higher education. And as a result, none of those student organizations disputed the policy positions that would have been taken by the South African Union of Students. When we came in, we realized that the union is only known to those who are already on the know about it. The SRCs are not the entire student population. Then that's the question of activism and visibility comes in. We were able to ensure that without funds, but were able to reach out to students in general. We were able to go to each and every institution in the country to address students on the issues that they raise. And as of today, I can assure you that students across the country, they know what is the South African Union of Students and what is its role in the institutions of higher learning. Students now are able to interact directly with the leadership of the union that I left a couple of years ago. Also, I then did my post-grad qualification, that is the master's, in the field of mental health. Now, I want to bring also as to why the committee must consider me. I bring in two things, the experience and the expertise and the skills in the health sector. And with that being said, you would know that mental health is also a prevalent question that is in particular amongst young people. According to the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, about 23 young people are committing suicide every day. 460 are attempting to commit suicide. The social ills in our communities, your GBV, substance abuse, teenage pregnancy. Students in the higher education sector, particularly the vulnerable that is in the TVET sector. The queer bodies, the LGBTQI, the discrimination and the stress therefore that they get in that opposed the discrimination and exclusion that they experience within the communities. Also, there is mental health within the workplace. There is mental health within young people that are unemployed. So I bring in an expertise, which I think maybe I believe that within the members that you have, or the candidates that you have interviewed, I'm the only person who comes from the health aspect. And youth development, or development rather, is not only a question of disbursement of grants. Development is a process. It's not an event. And that process requires evaluation. You can't just go do a career expo and leave and then think that you have done a youth development program. So I bring in that expertise because in terms of all the health-related issues that I've explained, I am experienced in that sector. I also I also have skills and expertise. I also did an advanced certificate in municipal governance, which is what many institutions, when they look to, for members to appoint for a board, they look for the skills in terms of governance. So I bring in also that particular skill. I also currently, I work at the Department of Public Service and Administration as a deputy director in the ministry office responsible for community outreach. You would know that the experience perhaps that I'm bringing to the board is that you would know that Department of Public Service is responsible within now the framework of the sixth administration, wherein they identified seven key priorities. That is of building a capable, ethical, and a developmental state. A state that is responsive, a state that is ethical and professional. So I bring in that experience which I've got from the Department of Public Service. The minister has assigned me to three programs.
Thank you very much. Avela, your 5 minutes is over. Thank you very much for your introduction. I will now take hands from honorable members. Honorable Mpiti, honorable Mgweba, honorable Nchabeleng. Chair, you want to take a question?
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay. And honorable Mastigo, honorable Kaula, in that order.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity, and a very good welcome to you, sir. I'm very happy that you've brought the issue of mental health issues. It's a matter that many candidates have not been able to speak about. Particularly, you know, we've been listening to a number of candidates since this process has started, and I feel that many, many young South Africans are dealing with mental health issues, particularly depression. And these mental health issues are derived from a society that has continuously rejected young people, whether it be at a skills development level, whether it be at a job opportunity level, whether it be going to school, going to university, receiving a qualification and not being able to find a job. So we know that young people are finding themselves in very precarious situations where they have to deal with socioeconomic issues, falling into substance abuse, and truly just finding themselves in a depressive state. So I want to ask you, should you be appointed onto the board of the NYDA, how do you plan to address a very unspoken issue that affects us as young people, which is depression in this country? What is your plan to deal and support young people in this country in relation to mental health issues? Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable member, for the question. Firstly, you will need to go for fact-finding. Locate where these young people. If young people are within the communities, you must ensure that you speak with the community leaders, because the question of community involvement, the question of parents being involved, also assist in terms of addressing the mental health question. So you need to identify where are these young people. If they're in the communities, you must involve community leaders, you must involve traditional leaders and counselors. Also taking advantage of the recently spoken district developmental model, which seeks to improve service delivery to our communities. Use that to ensure that you engage with our communities around the mental health awareness programs, and you ensure that you speak to communities to understand people that are suffering from depression. In that, you'll be assisting communities in order to deal with stigma, so that people with mental health, they don't fear, and families do not fear in terms of speaking out against depression. You speak to schools, or you partner with the Department of Basic Education. You address this question within the life orientation program in the basic education. Also, there is a program that is run in the institutions of higher learning, wherein there is a body which was assigned by the Minister of Higher Education, the Higher Health and AIDS Institute. You partner with it so that you go to each and every institution of higher learning. You engage with students around the question of mental health. You engage with institutions to assess. By the way, my PhD, I'm a PhD student at the University of Pretoria dealing with mental health in the institutions of higher learning. So you need to go and assess if institutions of higher learning do have facilities to address this question. Like I was reading, the stat from the South African Depression and Anxiety Group says about 25% of students do drop out from their first year level because of mental health issues. And 75% of clinics across the country do not have facilities to deal with the mental health question. So you need to partner with all those groups and go out to communities and institutions of higher learning, and also partner with trade unions in the workplace so that you attend, because mental health, also depression in particular, is found in the workplace. So I would suggest those particular programs. Thank you, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Chair, and I really appreciate the response, and that we're speaking about these issues that relate to mental health, because many times in our communities, when young people speak about depression, our parents don't understand what we are saying and don't understand that it is an issue that we continue to face. But I think the last question, just to follow up, also within the space of socioeconomic issues, this committee has been very specific to ask candidates on matters relating to gender-based violence. And we've also been very specific to address the question, particularly to males or men who are coming to these interviews and interviewing for the appointment of the board. And so I want to ask you, as a man who is standing and putting up their hand for the appointment to the board, what will you do should you be appointed to assist the country to fight the scourge of gender-based violence? How will you use your board membership and the strategic direction of the NYDA to support young people, particularly men who continue to violate and abuse women in this country? What will you do practically, if you can tell us practically what you will do to ensure that we are leading this conversation as men in this country? Thank you very much.
Before I want to have a rider on that one, on the follow-up, Honorable Mpiti, that, you know, because we are specialists on issues of mental health, in the universities, I was listening to you that some students, they drop out because of issues of mental health. But how can you assist young people on issues of peer pressure?
Well, thank you. Let me begin with the Honorable Mpiti, to be practical. Like I said, you need to identify where are these young people. Firstly, we must not think that as men we are going to liberate women. Women must liberate themselves. We need to support them as men. We need to speak out against gender-based violence. We need to support their programs. We need to take a stand as men. We need to engage amongst ourselves. But we begin at our communities, because these social ills are within our communities. They exist in our communities. We must ensure that we have programs that speaks to awareness programs that seeks to root out the scourge of GBV from our communities. We teach, firstly, our children from the basic education level. We have life orientation. We must speak to the problems. We must teach young men to respect women. We must teach young men not to see women as sex objects. We must teach young men equality. We must not teach young men to be violent. So in order to address those things, you must engage with community leaders. They must be involved. And that you must partner with all organizations. Also, we must check the last in our communities. whether they do have social services that are indeed assisting in terms of addressing this gap. Also in the policing sector or the security cluster, we must also assess if indeed the security cluster has expertise to deal with the scourge of gender-based violence. When I was reading the President's State of the Nation Address 2020, he speaks about developing of a university, a security university in Hammarskraal. We must also there include a program that will deal with the scourge of gender-based violence so that police that are going to be graduate from that particular school, they attend to issues of gender-based violence. In terms of peer pressure is a matter of engaging young people in terms of their groups. Sit with them, understand their socio-economic backgrounds, so that when you speak to them, you speak to people that you understand. When you direct programs to where the problem is. Peer pressure. It might be that other students believe that using substance or using drugs in the institution of higher learning can make you can make you numb, can make you forget about the stresses that you have. So you need to engage those young people in cases. Speak to them, try to seek to understand what becomes their problems. If their problems are related to their socioeconomic backgrounds, attend to that. So the fact-finding mission that the NYD needs to do is to ensure that it discover and gather database of what are the actual problems that face young people within the mental health space. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Avela. Who's next?
Mkweba.
Honorable Mkweba.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Mr. Mchachuban, the SONA 2020 priorities. And I've heard you that you have went through the document. The President spoke about the allocation of funds for youth unemployment. And he further then said also there must be priorities where we can be able to tackle youth, the high levels of unemployment. If then, should you get recommended to the NYDA, which sectors of the economy must be focused on in order to create jobs and advance youth development, so that we must be able to increase to decrease the unemployment of young people in the country, be it the youth in deep rural areas, in KZN, in the Eastern Cape, in Limpopo, and all other areas where there's rural areas, and also deal with also the unemployment in provinces like Gauteng. Can you also give us practical programs if then you can be appointed as an NYDA a board member? Thank you.
No, before you answer that one, I would like you to differentiate that economic participation of youth per province. Okay.
Agriculture. Go to rural provinces. Limpopo, Eastern Cape. You see, when we need to, the NYDA has a responsibility to coordinate youth development programs, integrate them within the mainstream. The government here is speaking about the district developmental model. There is Operation Sukumasake in KwaZulu-Natal that speaks to agriculture and food security. So assist young people want to develop cooperation. In that, for instance, maybe let me make an example about nutrition, that is at the basic education level. We must dismantle monopoly of nutrition. You can't have one member having about 10 schools, 8 schools supplying with food. Develop cooperations that are going to assist young people, or you organize young people within the communities to ensure that they supply, because in each and every second ward, there is a school. So direct the participation of young people into that particular school. It cannot be because those people who are supplying for those schools, they buy into big supermarkets. So ensure that young people are assisted, they are funded, they have their cooperatives in terms of agriculture. You come to Gauteng. In Gauteng, you speak about ICT. Young people need to participate in the gig economy. Young people need to participate in the e-commerce. So assist young people. Firstly, you partner with the University of Johannesburg. That is an intelligent institute which deals with the skilling of young people in order to meet the requirements of the Industrial Revolution. You partner with CSIR. CSIR in order to protect prototype and ideas of young people who might come up with innovative ideas in terms of participating in the economy, in the e-commerce and the fourth industrial revolution. Today, we are seated with the case of a young man whom probably began with an idea of a please call me. And Vodacom, because there was no platforms for that young man to be assisted and to be protected. Today, that young man, his idea is making billions for a monopoly industry that is Vodacom. So we need to partner with CSR to protect ideas of young people. But second to that, we need to partner with Innovation Hub, wherein we group young people who have innovative ideas and so on and so forth. So that is the program also that I will bring in. Also, we need to bring in of the ocean proletariat. The country is moving towards the ocean economy. Young people in rural areas along the coast are exploited by big industries because Operation Pakisa only prioritizes transportation, shipping, identification of gas and oil, and also governance and protection of the ocean. It does not speak to the ocean proletariat, those who work in the ocean, those who do fishing and sell their labor at an exploitative manner. So we need to protect them. We need to assist young people who come with enterprise or small businesses. We must assist them to have corporations that are going to assist them to be the owners of their businesses. So I would like to end there in these questions. Thanks. Oh, okay. Assist young people to establish corporations in that sector of the ocean economy. Assist them to ensure, because there's funding that is available for enterprises in that sector, ensure that the funding that is allocated, it is directed towards programs that assist young people. Partner, there is Impolozi College, who has maritime studies. There is Nelson Mandela University, who has maritime studies. So you must partner with those institutions in order to expand the skilling of young people in terms of maritime studies, in order to ensure that young people participate meaningfully in that sphere of the economy. Also, in the mining sector, young people in Northwest, in the Platinum Belt, we need to partner with DMR and municipalities in that area to ensure that, because I do not hear the National Development Agency making a comment in terms of the mining charter that was adopted a year or two ago. We need to ensure, because the mining charter speaks about the skills development around the mining communities. So we need to ensure that we enter and tap into that space. We ensure that young people actually are sitting in the structures, because we must not speak about young people being included or included in the mainstream economy. Young people must take the center stage in the participation in the mainstream economy, because young people are the present and the future. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. The next honorable member. Okay, ma'am.
Ngibonge Chairperson. Okokuqala nje ngizokusho, hayi nami ngibonga indlela apresenta ngayo uMr. Bantu, uJaji Bantu. especially njobe thinta indaba le ye mental health ngoba mhlambe ngake ngikhamba manje lo siqale la ngikhumbula ukhona oyithintile kanti yonanto enku okay so sihlala but kodwa mina ngiyibona inghlaba umxhwele why not because sibona iyouth eningi uthola ukuthi umntwana uzilengisile omunye umthola umhlele emagarage khona omunye wayehlele lana nje egarage mawusuka unandi drive lo mfana mase ngena ngaphakathi ngiyomthengela something ecela ukudla ngathuka isimanga kuthuba efunda eJohn Dube kwaMasho thuba ehlakaniphile ephasa kodwa bebuya njalo esikoleni no esephasile azofhlala lana azatshela ukuthi no ayisekho indawo yakho kusho ukuthi ikhona lento umnyango waka high education okufanele uyilandele kwazi ukuhlala neyouth ikwazi ukuze bakwazi ukuthola iinkinga ngoba ngempela even kwakhona lokhu ukuthi uthole khona enye ikhe mhlawumbe ekhumbula yase-KZN owavela suka umuntu umfana omunye wabulala umngani wakhe yizo zonke izinto zokuphandanelo mqondo bengifuna ukuthi-ke okunye-ke ngiyadlula lapho-ke ukuthi nje akusekho okuningisukuvele owangihambela phambili lana-ke Mr. Mjajubana ungixokele mntana mangi ubiza kamba kunalaba bantu othola ukuthi akayanga esikoleni omunye uyile esikoleni waphuma phakathi ngeyindlela ezahlukene omunye mhlambe ukhala ngokuthi abazali omunye-ke nje khona laba-ke nje othola ukuthi abazali babahlala emaplazini abavumelekile ukuthi baye ey'koleni kodwa la bantu uyababona banawo ama-skills bengakwazi ukuthi balime ingakho ngithi okulungisa ukuhambele phambili nje bangakwazi ukuthi balime bakwazi ukuthi bafakele amaveji ey'koleni uhulumeni kube yibona athenga kubona kunenye-ke into lana ekhona yokuthi lana NYDA kunemali efakwa NYDA board kunemali ayikhiphayo ihambe njalo iyongena komasipala ukuthi kwenziwe ama-cooperative i-youth kanjalo iye kasithi la kuye kuthole khona ukuthi kuyatrayinwa abantu ukuthi i-youth nabantu besifazane nabakhubazeki bakwazi ukuphila kodwa ekugcineni uthole kule mali ayifiki kubona kunoma le mali yekubona uzobona iya komunye umuntu or abawutholi kwalo msebenzi ibhizinisi lakhe yonke ama-plans akhe uyayibona kodwa iyaqhubeka iyenzeka yini ongayenza uma ungena la ukuthi i-youth ikwazi ukukuthemba ukuthi kulezi zinto esikhala ngazo ikwazi nayo ibone i-part and parcel nale nto-ko yokuqashwa kwe-youth ithi eseqedile thola ukuthi iy'khala zikhona ngenxa yalama-tender nalama-agent i-youth yakithi la e-South Africa nabanye besifazane bakwazi ukuqasheka ngenxa yani yamathenda ithenda kuthatha imali enkulu kuthiwa vula phaya i-youth ayikwazi ukungena ugeyina umuntu oyi-one nalama agent ngikhuluma ngo-middleman lona othole unikeza utilo khuzane uyena oqasha umuntu kuthi le mali efanele iholo la yena kube uyena ozomthathela imali amnikeza ayithandayo ngiyabonga
Maybe to begin with the first question. Around young people who are unemployed, whom some of them are wondering. I like a program that was adopted by the MEC of Arts and Culture in Gauteng, wherein he said he's going to take all young people, those who are dancing when we work by the robot, those who are creating, to showcase their skills. Also, I was heading a project of development of art and culture and the recreation center of Msinga assigned by the ministry. Of course, we're working with the Heritage Council. So that is the project that I was heading. So we will assist those young people or come up with a program that is similar or partner with those institutions that already have this program and ensure that there's an expansion. Also, in terms of ensuring that the money that is allocated to projects, it goes to projects. I mean that the PFMA speaks on the transparency. It speaks about accountability and effectiveness. It speaks about equity. No. It speaks about equitability, which means that all young people whom have applied for the grant, they must compete for it. And that is prescribed by the Constitution of the Republic, that is Section 217, which speaks about the competitiveness of the procurement processes. So we must ensure that we are transparent so that young people should be, because if you are transparent, you are following. Young people are going to begin to have confidence in your discussion. Young people are going to have begin to develop the institution itself that you are leading. Then have integrity. Young people are going to know that here was the process. You must not have procedures and protocols internally within the NYTA. You pay post your duty. Young people come and apply. Thereafter, because you want to put in your friend, you bend the protocols you have established within the institution. That breaks the trust, that breaks the integrity. And I believe that also the reason why the interview is live is because you want to maintain its integrity, is want to ensure that the process is credible and transparent so that young people continue to have confidence in the work of the committees of our parliament. Thank you.
Chair, apparently they cannot see the candidate on our social media streaming pages. So I don't know if there's an issue because they cannot see the candidate.
I will.
Chair, I'm just saying that they cannot see the candidate on the stream. On the 48 and also on Facebook and Twitter. So I don't know if there's an issue, but they only hear the candidate's voice.
Hello? Yes.
Yeah. We had number in Bola.
No, I can see
it. At the corner there.
But let me know.
Yes.
Both on YouTube and on Facebook.
He is not showing. Right now, as we speak, the person who is showing is Umam Kaul. So I'm not sure if it's a mic situation or whether... Yes.
On.
Let me just check quickly. No. 4-8 is playing something about Nelson Mandela.
Why
are you not playing? We are not there.
No, tell them. They must tell 4-8 to play our interviews.
Yes.
No, they tell them. They tell for Parliament to play our interviews. Sorry? Now it's choice. What? But now they are there. Yeah.
Yes, Chepesin.
NCOP is done.
They're playing. No, Chepesin. You know what? We are on hold here. They used to put those adverts for Nelson Mandela. Maybe if we can start, we can see now what are they playing. We can monitor from there.
Oh, okay.
Because yesterday, if we are breaking, we are discussing something, they used to put those things for Mandela Man. I will monitor now what's happening. Let's start. Let's continue. I will monitor then WhatsApp you.
No, it's on 4-8 now. Now I am going to inform. So we can continue. Sorry for that, Avela. Let's get the chair. Chair, it's your turn to ask a question. Because we want all young people to be seen by their peer on these interviews. How are they performing? Thank you very much. Chair, over to you. You can ask Mr. Avela the question.
Thank you, Chair. Person, my question is, I listened attentively into the introduction, and the candidate was very active in education and student structures. Now, taking into account during COVID-19, what is happening within education, the inequalities of education is coming out very strongly, specifically that private schools are open and public schools are closed. If you will become a successful candidate to serve on the board of NYDA, what will you do to address this inequality that still exists in education in our country?
Firstly, I will begin by basic education, the inequality. Since I was in the student movement, we have been advocating against the two-tier education system, that there are two quality assurers at the basic education level, that is your IEP and your MALUS. We have called for a single coordinated education. Currently, I'm a member of the Eastern Cape Education Advisory Council, which advises the MEC on projects that must be run. Today, I can confirm that indeed in the Eastern Cape, technology is being rolled out by the education. Learners are receiving their tablets in order for them to study while schools are being closed and for during this current pandemic, because what this pandemic has done, it has done good for young people, because young people have been advocating for those things, but they were not taken into cognizance. Now, what this pandemic has done, it has accelerated it has pushed government to ensure that it responds to the outcries of young people. For many years, student leaders have been saying that there must be one student, one laptop. Today it is provided, but it has never been provided because there was no pandemic at the time. So that is an advantage that the pandemic has done
to young people. Also, we must mention that we are indeed disturbed that University of Johannesburg is celebrating that it has completed its first semester through online studying, whilst historically black institutions like your Walter Sisulu University, your Zululand University, they have not started with their first semester academic program. So we need to partner, or the NYJ must partner, firstly with NSFAS to ensure that there is proper funding to all students. It needs to partner with the Department of Higher Education to ensure that there's a synergy, or at least the gap, the historical white institutions and the historical black institutions is not widened. In fact, it is abolished, so that we continue with a vision of building a single non-racial, non-racist, and a developmental country. So we need to partner with such institutions, partner with student organizations, because they raise those issues from an experiential level, because they engage with students on a daily basis. They see students perhaps sleeping in classrooms. They see students sleeping in corridors. So we need to engage with them so that we ensure that the development of young people, because those students that are within the education sector are at their developmental level. So the NYJ cannot abandon them. It must work with them and all relative stakeholders. But mostly, the NYJ must ensure that it taps in the private sector. We have been saying it when we were leading the student movement, that the private sector be drived by government, because the private sector benefits from the product that the government is giving out, or our public institutions that are giving out. So drag the private sector through a legislation that it contribute towards funding to ensure that facilities are there, so to ensure that the teaching and learning program continues smoothly, even in the institutions that are vulnerable, particularly the TVET sector, because the government, through its NTP policy, says that it wants to produce around 30,000 artisans by the year 2030. Each and every year it must produce around 18,000. So we can't do that if we don't pay closer attention and ensure that TVET colleges are institutions of choice. So we need to partner with the QCOT, that is the quality assurance in the TVET sector, in order to ensure that there's curriculum reform that speaks to the needs of our communities. Partner with student unions so that we ensure that there's coordinated programs that address inequalities within the education space. Thanks.
Ntate Mjajubulani, if it's all right, Mjajubana.
Yes.
Mental health is quite a challenge in this country, particularly amongst young people at tertiary institutions. In the first years of the academia, there are a lot of people who get affected by this scourge, your mental health. And the question is, what is the understanding of young people of what causes this mental health problems? Like what is generally referred to in my village as mafofonyane. I don't know what it is. Is it hysteria or something like that? I'm not quite sure what it means in Islam. Yeah, no, I'm a fufonyan or something like that. Or what they call nervous breakdown. I think it will be, maybe I'm not quite sure what is the right word. But when I name to Barangama fufonyan or ka English, nervous breakdown, where a person wakes up okay and the following day just suddenly the person breaks down. And what causes that? I think we need to, in a way, educate our people, because in most instances, particularly in most rural areas and townships, of course, once a bright student gets affected by, suffers a mental health thing, then somebody will be identified as the person who have bewitched that person. So I think in terms of this is quite a challenge to person that it's not very easy to talk about these things, but you as a health activist in the mental health area, these are some of the challenges. And because this affects young people, we're expecting if we are to be appointed as a board member, what kind of programs will you bring in, at least to make society aware, not only young people, so the whole of society aware about mental health and the causes and, you know, and other things. My other question will be related to the NYDA. That the NYDA and the Dr. Mjajulana, in a name, the act has been in place for more than 10 years. And there's a feeling amongst other young people that the act is outdated. It needs to be amended. And the process is on now as we speak. So what will be your input into the amendments of the NYDA Act and programs? Thanks, Jefferson.
Thank you. There are different categories of mental illness. There are those that affect young people, and there are those that they affect old people. And some of them are neurological, particularly those affect young old people, like Alzheimer's and your schizophrenia. Though the schizophrenia also affects young people. But maybe particularly to try and trust you, you might speak about delusions. That where you speak about Ukhais and all that. So those affect them. But what we need to do, we need to partner with institutions that deal with the group that I spoke about, the health, depression, and anxiety group, to develop programs. They amended the Mental Health Week in February, that is celebrated in the country. October becomes the month of mental health. But we can't wait for February and October, because mental health needs to continue every day. So we need to ensure that there's a line. Young people are able to access one NYDA. They're able to access the Department of Health. They have those problems. You have a toll-free that they can contact in order to report their cases. I mean, DSTV has a WhatsApp that if you have a problem with DSTV, you just ask them, they respond instantly. Develop that kind of a program and have it in the NYDA where young people, if they say, I have this kind of feelings, what might be happening, you attend to it. So secondly, on the act, nature does not allow for a vacuum. The act needs to speak on to what must happen when the term of the board expires. Two, the National Commission Act speaks loudly on the age question, 14 to 35, that is used in South Africa. It must be clear in the act of the NYDA so that there are no uncertainties. When somebody turns 35, what must happen when somebody is perhaps 13, closer to 14 years old? So the act must be clear in terms of age, it must be clear in terms of what happens when there is a vacuum. What must happen? Also, the act must be clear in terms of what happens. It speaks about coordination of programs working together with other state entities. If those entities are not reporting, which will come to my point that here in our country we have nice policies, we have good policies in our country, but the problem that we lack is political will and decisiveness. So the act must be clear into what must happen. If maybe the act must be clear as to when to report to the president. It cannot be that you report to a president after 3 years. You must report to the president constantly. You must engage with the president so that the presidential youth interventions are in line with the programs that the NYTA is doing. We do not do things parallel to one another in terms of youth development. Thank you, sir.
You see, now the NYTA, in my own understanding, they are reporting to the president, but they report to the president through now the Department of Women. But before, they were reporting to the president through the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. So I think most people, what confuses them is that they think they must go straight and report to the president. But remember, they are structures that they report through them. That's why they were guided that they must report through the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation at first, and then now they are reporting to the Department of to Parliament. They still report to Parliament. Because when they report to Parliament, they report through the portfolio committees. In fact, it is the portfolio portfolio committee on monitoring and evaluation, and now it's portfolio committee on women, youth, and persons with disabilities. But what is happening is that the allocation is being transferred through Department of Women and Youth and Persons with Disabilities. So in terms of reporting structure, the way they are doing, I think it's correct because they report directly to Parliament. And when they report directly to Parliament, when they report directly to Parliament, at least all those reports, the president will have them so that reporting part, I think, is covered. Unless maybe you as young people, you think otherwise, but in the manner in which they are reporting structurally, I feel that maybe it's correct. They do get the report.
Okay.
So I was explaining because other people, Mr. Avela, they think the president don't get the reports.
Yeah.
And the president do get the reports.
Okay.
Mm. What was my interest is the working relationship or the coordination or collaboration of programs of the desk that is in the presidency and the NYTA. Yeah? But Manje, I'm not asking you that question because other members must also ask the question. Mm.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you with the Judge Ubane for your response to that. On a light note, Honorable Minister and myself are monitoring the social media pages just to ensure that the feed is going through and young people are able to pick up on the activities that we are doing here. And Mr. Mbreni yesterday told us that they are calling him Buzz John, and I'm picking up that they are calling you a Buffridge. That's on a lighter note, that you have been called a Buffridge. But is I am Kaul. What is Buffridge? Basho kona la vi social media. Yeah. But yeah, that's on a lighter note. I think when you were doing your introductory remarks, Mr. Mjajubane, you raised a very important point, and you raised it in passing, of the district development model. And I want to zoom straight to that. And I want to link it to the issue of youth mainstreaming in development planning. Because you know that in terms of the aims of the district development model, it speaks to the improvement, improving the coherence and the impact of government service delivery. Now, we know that the president launched it in 2019, and that was towards the end of the term of office of the board that ended in early this year. Now, we know that there's this incoming board, that if you are lucky enough to be appointed to the board, obviously, as a member of the board, one of the programs that you are supposed to be implementing or the work that you're supposed to be doing, you'll have to be obviously doing it in line with government work. So how do you think that the NYDA can capitalize on the district development model in implementing the youth development programs of the National Youth Development Agency? Thank you very much.
Thank you for that question. I think I had already made an example about nutrition. I will move from that and maybe focus on... I hold the firm view that the state must de-tenderize, stop tendering processes, invest on skilling young people so that you professionalize the state. As we speak today, it is said in the AG report that Etekwini municipality uses about 2.2 billion only on consultants. So we need to skill young people to do services in municipalities. You assist young people, those particular maybe who are not at school, you assist them to have cooperatives. Whether they go and do services, cleaning services in a particular municipality, whether you then take the services that were supposed to be done by consultants. There are many graduates from the accounting sector or the accounting sphere of study. You need to take them, bring them on board, employ them as government employees. This is what is also a main case that we are doing as government. In that, we push that young people must get internships. And I'm saying you are building a mental health case in that after 10 months of the employment, they must think what is going to become of them in the following 2 months, because internship is going to come to an end. Just to ensure that after skilling those young people and give them that experiential program, they are able to be absorbed by the state. Have programs that speaks directly to crafts. Young people must showcase their skills through crafts so that they are able to sell them in the communities and so on and so forth. So in terms of taking advantage of the DDM model, is to partner with all the ministers that are, because they are district champions, partner with them so that you understand what becomes the plight of young people within those areas. You also partner with Parliament, because Parliament has what is called constituency offices. We need to tap in that so that we expand the reach of the NYDA. We interact with young people. We have developmental programs that speaks to directly to the particular community. So that's how I will perhaps attempt to answer the question.
Chairperson, it's a follow-up. Thank you again, Mr. Mchachubane, for your response. And I like the last part of it where you say that we can partner with Parliamentary Constituency Office. And I suppose that you know that they belong to members of Parliament who belong to political parties. And I will then link it to a follow-up question which says that for a very long time, the National Youth Development Agency has been associated with a, you know, specific cohort of young people, or it has been accused of serving specific a cohort of young people. What do you suppose, if you are appointed to serve in the board, that you will implement to change the perception that young people are having about the National Youth Development Agency? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member, for the question.
Meaning, if I want to understand what Honourable Masiko's question, what is wrong if they are partnering with PCOs? Because remember, PCOs are serving community, irrespective of whatever political affiliation you are. But PCOs are serving community members, so there is nothing wrong. Yeah.
Chair, there's nothing wrong. I'm just speaking to the general perception that is existing amongst young people that the National Youth Development Agency is only serving or speaking or responding to a specific cohort of young people. So what would Mr. Mjajubana come with in terms of changing the perception that young people have of the National Youth Development Agency? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, when I began my introduction, I made mention of the fact that I led SAUS, which is an umbrella body of all student organizations, regardless of their affiliation. So I have that experience which I will bring to the board. Also, if you begin to ensure that your programs or the grant allowed that you are to disperse to young people in terms of their programs, you must ensure transparency so that everybody knows that this process was followed, this process is through this particular act is clean and is not perhaps questionable. And in so doing, you also promote ethical leadership. You speak about being accountable, being responsible in terms of how you give out support to young people. You do not give support to young people because they have a closer proximity to you. Like I said before, you have indicators and protocols that must be followed for each and every program, so that in the public eye, the perception is not that we do not know what is happening. We apply, but you do not see who gets you only see after a report of NYJ comes out that there is this person who has been granted. But processes are hidden, processes, you do not understand them. So ensure that there's transparency, ensure that there's independence of the board. It's not influenced by any other political party. You ensure that through maintaining ethical leadership of the board. Thank you.
Zinga lezi ezibalimazayo nalesi safety ke kuma university mawuvakashele kubona bekubizile uthola ikhadi zama sanitary towel othola ukuthi umnyango kahulumeni wahambisile kodwa thola ukuthi ama province bo MEC mhlambe yabona amanye amakhesi enzeka eLondon KZN bagcina ngafiki kubona nalama rapper akhona ngaphakathi ngenxa yokuthi youth khona usushilo ngizwile ubala nalokuthi nayo enye jike ingene afuna kuyidakamiza nasetshwaleni. Wena ngempela yithi ongozokwazi ukuthi usilekelele ukuthi kuphele le nto yokuthi abantu bangaqashwa permanent ukuze i-youth yethu ikwazi nayo ingene ibe yiphathi. Ma uyisecurity emkhandlwini eminyango nakhava siqashwe permanent. We clean kanjalo njalo nje even nama secretary lento sibonile ngisho ebhedlela abantu abaningi bama agent ba belonga under agent yini masungenile ozothi no iyouth yethu manje ayikashiwe ine crisis yokusebenza under agent aba asicela ba insource.
Thank you for all of the questions. In fact, I do support those programs, Mam Kaula, that young people must not be employed temporarily. They must be employed permanently by the state. That's why I said when you give an internship to a young person, you are building a mental case, because after a year, that person who has been supplying a family for a year will not have anything to supply after. Some of them move away from their families towards their workplace, and there's nothing that they get. So I would support, or I would push, that when the board engages, in particular government, that it must employ young people permanently. Of course, looking into what the budget says of the government. If there is enough revenue that the government has in terms of remuneration, because also we can't say young people must be employed when we do not know how much they are going to earn, which will lead me, Mam Kaula, to a question I will ask at a later stage about the level which is most spoken, that is an entry-level post, that is the work experience has been removed. What kind of a level is that? When is it going to be legislated so that we know it does not beside with the person that, or it does not rely with the person that is in charge at that particular time, but it's something that we know that we can hold people accountable about. So we will push for that young people must be employed permanently. Of course, we must support young people in the institutions of higher learning with sanitary pads in order to promote dignity of young women. We can't agree that young people do not have resources, do not have money for meal allowance, do not have money for accommodation, do not have money for books, but we don't provide for something that happens every month to young women. So it must be provided for. That engagement must happen, and the department involved, that is the Department of Higher Education, to ensure that we protect the dignity of the young women.
Thank you very much, Mr. Avela. Your time is up. In fact, we have exceeded more time because of the follow-up questions. But we have come to the end of your interview. And is there anything that you want to ask the panel?
Yes, I mean, that I'm alluding to now. A week ago or two, I saw a post advertised, a secretary, to be a secretary. It says it requires 2 year experience. Now, this disturbed me because we speak in the media that, you know, we have cancelled, we have experience for everything.
Now, I want to understand what becomes an entry level post.
And if they start, when is it going to be legislated so that we know and we're able to hold people accountable who do such a thing? I can't really, for writing meaning, for picking up a phone, I must spend 2 years elsewhere whilst I have a degree or a diploma. So that is my question that is related to that.
Where was the post?
In one municipality in the Eastern Cape.
It's unfortunately, but I think what we need to fast track as lawmakers is to make sure that this thing of experience is scrapped, and we come up with a bill that will scrap it. So if NYTA also can come up with that bill, that will be a bonus for our young people, because you see, it's unfortunately that we cannot answer on behalf of all those institutions or departments who are asking for those things. But for as long as it's not a policy, sometimes people get away with the matter. Yeah. So Maybe what we need to do also as the portfolio committee to continue monitor as we do oversight on the adverts that are sent out, even in the private sector. Because if we are going to monitor only public institutions and not monitor public sector, that means we will not be doing justice to the work of the portfolio committee and would be doing injustice to our people, to our young people. 1 minute.
How are you going to bring that into the situation? Then we need to make this kind of change. So it's really important that we do that.
Thank you very much. We will welcome the responsibility.
Thank you very much. We wish you good luck. You know most the way the process is. Parliament will submit our report to Parliament, and Parliament, the Speaker will send those recommendations to the President, and the President is the last person who takes a decision or who must serve in the board.
All right.
Yeah, but thank you very much for your time and for honoring our invitation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.